Welcome to Powering Through Life on the Divas That Care Network. I'm your host, Teresa Sims. I'm a life coach, NLP practitioner, multiple award-winning author, and two-time number one best-selling co-author. Each week on Powering Through Life, my guests and I discuss a special topic that is close to their heart. Together, we explore the challenges they have faced in life and learn what strategies and tools they have used to power through their lives. Today, I have a really interesting guest today. Her name is Dana Ferrant, and combining her 20-plus years in the wellness and stress management fields, along with her experience of building a seven-figure business, Dana is the leading authority at teaching her audiences health habits, mindset strategies, and authentic presence so they can tap into their inner power and be top performers in their field. Now, Dana has a really interesting topic she'd like to discuss today, and that is how the Inner Dominatrix brand is bringing feminine power back to the forefront of business instead of the push, hustle, and grind that's far too long dominated women rising to the top. So, Dana, welcome to Powering Through Life.
Oh, thank you so much, Teresa. I was looking forward to this.
Oh, I'm so happy to be able to do this with you. I've admired your work, and I'm a really ardent follower of yours. And I love what you're doing, and I'm really enjoying what you write, and I'm really excited about your topic today.
Thank you so much.
Let us know how is the inner dominatrix an archetype for women to claim their feminine power? Explain that for me, please.
Yeah, and you know, I'm so glad you bring that up because for so many people, the word dominatrix is, you know, conjures up a particular image, this harsh, fierce kind of scary woman or 50 Shades of Grey. They tend to go over into the sex world, but it's actually much deeper than that. And for me, becoming a dominatrix was a very spiritual process. It was a very spiritual experience. And so I wanted to, you know, kind of envelop who I had to become and create her into this archetype for people. And so to become a dominatrix, you have to very quickly learn to have really strong presence in the space. You have to own the confidence, not just fake it. You've got to really own it. And you have to show up in a way that is high-level service. You're actually there for the person that you're serving, even though, you know, in the dynamic we play out this scene that it's the other way around, but there's actually a space of holding that level of expertise so that the other person gets to experience the bliss of surrender. So that's where I created.
Yeah. That's really interesting. I mean, yeah, you know, when you say the word dominatrix, you right often go to the black leather spike boots, the whip, the chains, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's funny. I like the way you're changing the stigma around that. So what, may I ask, what caused you to go into that field?
So it was actually a little bit by accident. A lot of things in my life are, you know, fate just pushing me along. So I had a client come to me. So, you know, we go back a few years and I was doing massage therapy and I had a client come in and she disclosed to me that she was involved in the kink world, so the BDSM. And of course this is, you know, because if I see bruises or marks, she doesn't want to have to make up stories and me possibly think that she's being abused. So she discloses this to me and it tweaked something for me. I was like, what is that? And so every time she would come in, I kept asking her questions and, you know, her and I would have these philosophical discussions about it. And it was as if we were discussing wine. It was also natural. So eventually I got up the courage to take myself, you know, go to a party and explore this world for myself. And the most miraculous thing happened was that I got connected with some incredible play partners. And we call it play because it's not sex. Mm-hmm. So in that, I ended up being able to recreate things that had happened in my childhood. So, you know, I am a survivor of sexual abuse. And so we were able to kind of recreate the scene. But the important piece is we also crafted a different outcome where I got to take back all of my power. And that experience was profoundly healing for my body. And because of the depths of that healing and how much it changed my life, I had to step into the other side of the whip and take other people on this journey.
That's really fascinating. I mean, that is such a healing process to go back into what it is that caused the damage in the beginning and rewrite your own ending to it, isn't it? That's basically what you did.
Yeah.
And that's so powerful for your own growth, your own healing, and your own soul.
Mm.
And congratulations on doing that. And I mean, there's so many different ways of doing that, but you found a really creative way. And I think that's fantastic. Good for you. So
thank you.
What did, if you don't mind my asking, what did becoming a dominatrix do for you and your own personal journey and for abuse, survival, all that aspect? What did it do for you?
Mm. So like I said, with the archetype, it's, you know, there, you can't fake confidence in the dungeon. The person that you're working with, we call them the submissive. The submissive will only surrender if you are actually being that person. So I had to very quickly learn how to actually be that person with the power and the person with the confidence and holding that space, because that's part of it. Like, you really have to hold a container of space for the other person so that they feel completely safe to let go and drop in.
Mm.
And that changed who I was at a DNA level. So, you know, all of the things where I'm like second guessing myself and, you know, all that constant doubt, it had to just leave once I entered the dungeon. And that's the big piece for me, is that, like, to learn to get out of judging myself, to learn to get out of judging others, and to be so present that nothing else exists, like, it blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be able to find a way to take this to other people, because I quickly discovered not everybody wanted to go to the dungeon. You know, I can't understand why, but, you know.
Well, I think there's a little bit of fear that's attached to that term, but yeah.
Just a little, I get
yeah.
it. Yeah,
no, but congratulations on overcoming that fear. So it's
Thank
basically
you.
Acting out a scenario, but it's a scenario of trust, and it's a relationship that you're building with the person you're with, and trust in yourself as well, correct?
Yes. And it goes even beyond, like you say, acting. And a lot of people, when you say acting, it sounds like I'm going to pretend. And it's not. You actually become it. And that's, I think, the key difference, is that you become this person who is confident. And confidence is not arrogance. Confidence is a quiet confidence where, you know, you're in command of the room and in the space.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for so many women in business, particularly, like, that's who I target, is a missing skill. We don't authentically have the confidence to do what we're going to do. And so then we ask for less than what we could be asking for fees. And we don't go for the bigger, you know, like, ask for the big thing, whatever it is, speaking on a stage or, you know, I'm at a loss for other examples.
Mm-hmm. So confidence is actually strength, inner strength. And it's not something to be afraid of. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's something that we all are entitled to, because it should be part of who we are.
Yeah, and I would say, rather than entitled to, it's part of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it more that we kind of get crusted over with the lies and the you know, programs that get into our system and our psyche, telling us that we're not good enough. But, you know, if we peel those away, who we are intrinsically is this inner dominatrix. And so that's really what I'm doing. I'm pulling away the crust and the, you know, the cocoon shell, so that you can rediscover who you actually are.
That's fantastic. And is that what you're doing, is helping women take power through the AKA stuff, shit that's gone on in their life, and take the same level playing field that men have, because we are equal, right? And we have the ability to stand on equal playing field with them. We just, for whatever reason, and sometimes habit, growth, nurturing, like, well, however we were raised, plays a big part in that. But we have the choice to turn that around, don't we?
We absolutely do. And it's, you know, changing that conditioning, because at the moment, you know, most of us are still stuck in that old paradigm where we're programmed to fail. And this, bear with me because it sounds like a demotivating thing to say, but we're programmed to fail because our you know, limbic brain, which is the reptilian brain, is designed to keep us safe. And it was designed to have automatic reactions. So back in the days when we lived in caves and we, you know, had fear of being eaten by some sort of, you know, tiger or creature, we needed to react instantly. We couldn't have the time, you know, to think, oh, what am I going to do here when you see the tiger coming at you? No, you just kind of react. The trouble is that that reptilian brain labels everything new as unsafe. And so everything new gets the same reaction of, do I need to fight it, run from it, or freeze? How do I keep myself safe? And unfortunately, you know, we actually are not coming across all that many things that we do need to do those actions with. The majority of them are the low-grade anxiety that we need to change how we react and to change how that is being conditioned. And that's a really big part of what I do is changing all of those dynamics so that when you're faced with doing something new, you look at it as exciting instead of looking at it as fearful. And as soon as we change that labeling, that conditioning, now you want to take action as opposed to, you know, trying to push your way through it with willpower. You're driven. You're like, ah, yes, I want that. I'm going for that.
So do you find that that's the greatest stumbling block, obstacle, roadblock that women have that today is just the fear of trying something that, or shifting the paradigms to be able to try something new, something that we should be enjoying?
I think that's really kind of the big basis of it is that conditioning where we go into this anxiety response as opposed to seeing the excitement of it. And, you know, when that shifts, I think a lot of the other things can take place. Like, you know from following me, I talk a lot about intuition and really standing in your power. And I think that doesn't come until we start really changing this dynamic of getting out of the anxiety fear mode and into our excitement. Because when we're excited about something, when we're feeling joyful, your brain is like explodes with possibilities and creative ideas and, you know, all the connections, and you'll think of things to be doing, people that you need to be reaching out to. So when we change that dynamic, I think everything else, it just kind of trickles in, and it's a lot easier to put the other skills in place on top of that.
Absolutely. And there's so many good chemicals that the brain releases when we go into a happy, joyful place and we're feeling, you know, in our own inner power, our own inner dominatrix. And it's just such a healthier place to be, happier place to be. And if we consistently stand in that place, it becomes the norm, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It absolutely does.
What tools can you share for the listeners to begin to stand in their own personal inner dominatrix?
So the very base of all of my tools that I like to get people conditioned on, and, you know, it's very simple, and yet it takes conditioning. So I want to, you know, preface this that you need to do it several times a day in order to really get the benefit of it. And all you're going to do is you're going to just imagine that you have this energy field. You are a physical being and an energetic being. And so your energy, you want to take and you want to just expand out. And I love just playing with questions. And it's like, what would it feel like if I was as big as the solar system? And then we just keep going. What would it feel like if I was as big as a galaxy? And what would it feel like if I was as big as the universe? And we just keep going all the way out to, you know, feel like, well, what would it feel like if I was as, like all the way out to infinite space. And here's the thing, is that most of us have been taught this idea that we need to shield and bubble and protect ourselves from the negative that goes on in the world. And the reality is that there's, by pulling in, you make yourself more of a target because now it has somewhere to stick on you. So I always have this, you know, visual for people. It's like, being contracted in, pulling in, shielding, bubbling is like making yourself like a wall. You become very solid. And the expanding out is like the wind. And so if we imagine other people's stuff is post-it notes, you can see that, you know, on the wall, you could stick thousands of post-it notes, pile them up and pile them up. And this is what happens to us, is that we get stuck with everybody else's thoughts, feelings, and emotions. But if you become like the wind, you can't stick a single post-it note on the wind. So you're actually safer, if you want to call it that, you're actually safer to be expanded out all the time. Now, everybody's had this conditioning to pull in, so we need to, you know, make sure you've got something in place to remind you every half hour to expand out until it starts to become a habit.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I like to use, for my clients, I like to use things like put a timer on your phone, put sticky notes, mm-hmm. you know, in your vehicle on, well, not that you should be looking at sticky notes when you're driving, but if you're sitting in traffic, you know, look at the sticky notes.
Glance at it. Yeah.
Yeah. On your computer screen, when inside your wallet, somewhere where you're going to be looking at it multiple times a day, because it serves as a reminder, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love using the phone as well. You know, set it up for every half hour.
Mm-hmm.
A nice gentle ringtone, not something nasty.
Right.
And then it's just, you know, some waterfalls or something that's just in the background. It's like, oh yeah, take a deep breath and expand out. Or even, you know, for women, if you have a lot of, you know, women that are listening, we go to the bathroom a lot. Mm. So every time you go pee, expand out.
Well, that's a good one, actually. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's fantastic because, you know, as we have bladder issues, as things happen in lives, and, and you can't always control it. So, yeah, that's a great one, you know, on your teacup, on wherever. But it is conditioning. It's rechanging your thought process to get you back into a place where you are taking control of your life. You are taking control of your thoughts and your habits and your beliefs and your ideals, right?
And not getting caught up with other people. See, mm-hmm. this is the power of this tool. So when you really get to the place where it becomes more automatic, and honestly, I'll admit, you know, I've done this work for a long time, so it still took me 9 months to really integrate it, just to give people a chance to say, you know, if you don't get it in a week, don't worry, keep going.
Right.
But it made the world of difference. I am a hugely an empathetic sponge. I take everything on from people. And this tool alone saved my life because I'm no longer burdened with what is going on with everybody else, which means that I'm carrying less baggage, which means that I can do more things with ease in my life and in my business.
Oh,
that's the power of this tool.
That's fantastic because I know as practitioners, a lot of times we have intuitive gifts or other mm-hmm. gifts that we've been given, and we become sponges for all these other emotions from other people, and we do it without even realizing it. But you're right. Let it flow in the wind. Just take it away from you. Give it away. Push it away because it doesn't belong to us. It's not ours, right?
No.
So. That's fantastic. Any other tips that you'd like to leave us with?
I think the other thing that I would start nudging in the direction of is that it's like, what if we start assuming that the thoughts and emotions that you are not, that don't feel so good, what if you start assuming that they're not yours? See, I find that for a lot of, you know, women in particular, we tend to gravitate to this idea of like, oh, I feel this in my body. What, you know, what have I done wrong? What did I, you know, what is this? How do I fix it? What's wrong with me? And what if it's actually just something that you're picking up and perceiving from somebody else and it's never been yours in the first place? And that's why you can't fix it because there's no fixing required. All you need to do is expand out more and let it go. When we come from that perspective of assuming it's not ours, we free up more space because I find, like I said, I see so many people that get looping around on this plane of, you know, what I can't change this, this keeps coming back. And it's like, it's not that it keeps coming back. It's just that you keep picking it up.
That makes sense. It's cyclical, isn't it? If you don't deal with it and face it and put it back in its proper place and in perspective, it'll keep coming back and throwing itself back at you and saying, hey, I'm still here. Don't forget me.
Well, it's that you're picking it up from other people. So,
mm-hmm.
so let's say we cleared, you know, fear of not having enough money. And, you know, you got to the place where it's like you feel that flow of abundance. Well, there are nearly 8 billion other people on the planet, and probably 7.9 billion of them are in money scarcity mode. And so you go out in the world, even just stay home, you can still feel what is going on with other people. So it feels like it's still there, but I want to stress that, like, assume that's not actually yours.
Right. And it's so draining, isn't it, when you allow things like that to attach themselves to you?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So let's put it back where it belongs. And I know, like you, in our work that we do, it involves emotion and it involves all the senses. And we need to really take a step back and look at who we are and what we stand for. And, you know, the possibilities for us are endless. We just have to go out and grab it. And it, like you say, it doesn't happen, change doesn't happen overnight. Lasting quality change takes time, doesn't it?
It does.
But it's possible. It's probable. It's possible. We can do it.
Yeah. And it may not take as long as you think. You know, it doesn't have to be hard and difficult when you start allowing it to be easy.
Exactly. So true, Dana. So what new and exciting things have you had happen recently? I know you've got something that you just launched, so would you like to share it?
Yes, I would love to. Yes. So not too long ago, I think it was maybe not even a month ago, I have launched the first of my series of books. So the series is called The Inner Dominatrix Guide. And this first one is Become a Badass in Business. It has been getting rave reviews. Number one seller in three categories. And I am just so excited. But more importantly for me though, Teresa, is that people are reading this book and the comments that I'm getting of people saying, for the first time I feel heard. For the first time I feel like somebody gets me. Mm-hmm. You know, those kinds of things. That to me is the bigger reason for writing the book, is actually creating an impact in people's lives in a positive way.
And that is so satisfying, isn't it? I know I'm into your book already. I'm only about chapter two, but I'm already, like you say, there's an understanding there. And, you know, we both came from difficult backgrounds, but, you know, you don't always have someone you can chat with or talk with on that level, and the level of understanding is not always there, but I'm getting that out of your book, and I'm really, really enjoying it. And congratulations. That's so exciting.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I can't wait to finish reading it. And, I'm going to share with everyone what I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the book is packed with tools. So, you know, if you're listening and you're looking for more tools, grab the book because, you know, I loaded it up.
That's fantastic. And I think, you know, maybe we should get the listeners to connect with you, and your website is innerdominatrix.com, and your email address is danaferrant.com. And I will be sharing all of your contact information on the the Divas That Care page. See, now I've got the word going in my head.
It's gonna, sticky, right?
It is. It's going to become my word now. So,
love that.
Sorry, Dana. So do you have a favorite saying or quote that you would like to leave us with today?
I think, you know, the message that I keep always stressing is that you've never been broken, that there's never been anything wrong with you. And it's just a matter of, you know, one day you'll believe me.
I like that. I really do like that. And, you know, it's true. We're not broken. It's the events that occurred around us that were broken.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I like that.
Thank you.
Well, Dana, thanks so much for being here with us today. Is there, like I say, there will be all your contact information on the website. And thank you so much. Congratulations on your book. And I'm going to just dive into that one tonight and finish it.
Oh, thank you, Teresa. I really appreciate this.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for being here. So, Divas, that brings to a close another great, inspiring interview on Powering Through Life. And I'd like to thank my incredible guest, Dana Ferrant, for sharing her thoughts and wisdoms with our listeners today. And like I say, if you're Divas, if you're interested in connecting with Dana, all of her contact information will be on the website. So go to www.divas.com. divasthatcare.com, and you'll find my picture there. So click on my picture, and you will see all of the past, present, and hopefully future episodes of Powering Through Life. So please reach out to Dana, connect with her, grab a copy of her book. Dana, where is it available?
Every place, all the popular places. So we've got, you know, Amazon, Kobo, Indigo, iBooks. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And on my website.
So, oh, there you go. That's fantastic. And I'm sure she'd be happy to send a signed copy to you as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you go to my website, you can get a signed copy.
Fantastic. So, Divas, thanks again for listening, and we will talk to you again soon.